Take it away, producer Lindsay.
Thanks, Ramona. So what you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. And what you need to know is that it's been over 15 years since the inception of Twitter, and the company has certainly come a long way since then. But there is perhaps no issue that's frustrated Twitter users as much as the inability to edit tweets once they've been sent. Well, as of today, a big announcement came from Twitter. And thankfully, it looks like our prayers might have finally been answered, because they revealed that they've begun to test what is described as, quote, their most requested feature to date. In a post, Twitter confirmed that it has begun to test the edit function internally and plans to roll out the experiment at some point later this month. So that is what you need to know.
Cowards. Proofread.
What are you, just a deleter? See? You just delete them.
Well, you're one of those.
Think before you tweet.
Yeah but
read it again. I know.
If you have my job.
You have to tweet for time. I know.
You got to tweet as fast as you can. There's autocorrect. There's just, it's so hard. And then you misspell one person's name and the Twitter police are like, ah!
Kaboom. Yeah, I know.
You're like, I know. Sorry, trying to be fast. Relax, people. Relax. You know what's
you
fun,
know what
though?
I meant. Dang it.
You know, it's fun, though. Like, I used to, when I worked at the newspaper, I came up through newspapers at the LA Daily News, right?
Yeah.
When you would make a mistake, you might get an email. And so, like, somebody, you misspell somebody's name, you might get an email, but like, hey, my name is spelled Smythe.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I thought it was Smith. Oh, shoot. The time you forget to ask how you spell a kid's name, that's the one where they're going to have a funny spelling. You're like, oh, sorry.
I couldn't get up, Lindsay. I was stuck in the lobby.
Because?
They spelled my name with an A. Like D-A-M-A-R-C-O.
Oh, dumb Marco.
Really? Yeah. And they made that big of a deal out of
it? Seriously? It didn't come up.
Really?
You're like, how many other 6 foot five, 250 pound tackles?
You think I'm 6'5"?
Right. How tall are you?
I love you. Thank
Everyone
you.
Is tall to me.
I love you. I'm nowhere near 6'5", but I love
what
you.
What are you?
I'm barely 6'1".
Really?
Yeah, but I love 6'5",
like,
though.
You know what's fun about short people like me?
What?
Everyone is tall.
This is
like,
true.
Like, everyone is, like, how tall are you, Taylor?
6'5".
See, that's 6'5".
You could say 6'9", and I would say fine. Yep.
But you work around NBA players.
I know. Like, my job is literally, I'm a very small girl who interviews tall guys.
Come in here. Okay. Let me see something. Hold on.
He's really tall.
Yeah.
Tall Taylor. Really that's what we call him, Tall Taylor. Yeah.
You were 6'5"? I didn't think you're, you're 6'5", bro.
He's like, now that you're standing close, up, I see it.
I got Nikes on.
Yeah, you're close.
Okay.
I would have thought you were 6'3".
Okay, I'll take that.
6'3".
Yeah,
you know, like you're big, too. Like, you used to play in the league, so, it makes you look... Like,
combine
how tall would you think I am?
5'4".
There it is. See? I'm 5'2".
5'2". Okay.
Yeah. But, nice. But it's because I'm thick.
Yeah. See, me too.
I'm thick, so people think I'm taller than I am.
My combine number, the height was 6'007". So 6¾".
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even really 5'2".
You're not really 5'?
I'm 5'1".
You're
5'1"?
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm 5'3".
How tall is your husband?
Okay. When we first started dating, he told me he was 6 feet.
Yeah?
And about a year later, when it looked like things were going well, he told me he was 5'11". I said, oh, it's okay, honey.
That's catfish. No, I'm
and no. And then about a year later, he said, no, I'm really 5'10".
Oh, my God.
And I said, no, seriously, are you really 5'10"? And he goes, okay, I'm really 5'9".
That counts as catfish, right? That's 4 inches.
I don't know, whatever. Everyone's tall to me.
I mean, I was going to say, it's not like you never met him in person.
I literally see him. And he goes, you know, one of the reasons I liked you and I was attracted to you is because you're so short, you make me feel tall.
Wow.
Right? I mean, that's
I did see that picture of you on Twitter with the basketball player, Liz.
Oh, Cambage, that's pretty funny.
Oh, my God, that picture. Like
she's 6'8".
Oh, my goodness, wow.
And I'm 5'2".
That's a great shot, yeah.
I'm around 5'2".
Send me that shot.
It's an amazing photo. Yes. I'll show you that one.
Yes, I like that picture. Yeah.
Yeah, so hence my imposter syndrome sometimes.
What's your imposter? You wish you were taller?
No, well, that's I wish I was a baller,
you
too.
You pretend shorter is good?
No, like you. There's a party that goes, okay, I'm 5'2", I played softball, I went to Stanford. What do I know about the NBA? People say that to you all the time. What do you know about the NBA?
I'm getting a better understanding.
Okay, you understand now?
I got it now. Yeah.
And the truth is, I know what I don't know.
Okay, fair.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't try to pretend like I know everything. I try to only pretend like I know what's going on behind the scenes, because I usually do know that.
Okay.
And this is a line that I use, but you can steal it.
Yeah.
Some people write about the sports that people play.
Right.
And I write about the people who play sports.
Wow.
That makes sense.
That's deep.
That's what we do on Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah.
You I think you talk about the sports people play.
No, I heard this from I heard something similar from what's it, Cowherd.
Yeah.
Years ago, he said
the people are who are interested.
He doesn't talk NBA. He talks LeBron.
Right.
Yeah. They made us
and personalities.
When I first started radio, they made us sit down and listen to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And give. Yeah. That makes total sense. Yeah.
So the reason why I have always been interested, and like I don't watch tennis, I watch Serena. I don't watch golf. I watch Tiger. Okay.
Me too.
Yeah. So Serena to me has become this like cultural phenomena, and part of it is she was I don't think she was beloved for most of her career, and she knew it. Like I think people kind of rooted for her to lose sometimes. I didn't. I always thought she was fierce. Okay. And women like a fierce. Usually like a fierce woman, right?
Yeah,
like
she's
she yells and she screams and she gets mad and she tells ball girls to go away and she yells at the chair ump, right?
Anybody wanted her to lose, though.
No, there was definitely
really?
A lot of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the circles I'm in, no.
Right? And most female athletes, we like them to be well-behaved. We like them to be like prim and proper and like the girl next door. Like Sue Bird talks about this a lot. Her and I have, you know, Sue Bird is like everyone's favorite, you know, little plucky little basketball player.
Right? Yeah.
But she's got a lot to her.
Gritty, gutty white guy.
Yeah. Okay. And and there's something about like letting your soul out a little bit, letting your ferocity out. And Serena's always had that ferocity and that competitive fire. And I think towards the end, people understand you more. But I think it's also since she became a mom and she lost some, she's been humbled and you see her the aging superstar and sort of at the end of the career, she gave us one last thing yesterday.
Yeah.
And afterwards, she was asked, like, you know, she hasn't been around for the last year or so. She's been injured and hasn't really been at her best. And afterwards, we have this sound. Mary Jo Fernandez, who does the post-match interview, said to her, "Are you surprised at the level you've been at?
Are you surprising yourself with your level at the moment?
What?
Are you surprising yourself with your level?
No, I know.
I'm just Serena, you know, so.
Wow.
I mean,
I'm trying to figure out what the question meant.
In other words, you haven't been very good for the last year or two, and tonight you beat the number two overall player in the world.
So she's asking, like, why are you so good now?
Yeah, and she goes, are you surprised you're so good again? And she's like, no, I know I'm good.
Well, go back.
She goes, I know I'm good.
Wait, here, this is also a good one. We got to add this one also for context. With the question, hang on.
You've only played a handful of matches since coming back. You were out for a year, and you just beat the number two player in the world. Well, I'm a pretty good player.
Yeah, I mean
that's true.
Do you think anyone would ever ask Kobe that at the end? Like, would you?
Yeah.
Would they ask Kobe like, "Do you surprise yourself that you're still kind of good?"
How bad was she? How bad was Serena?
She wasn't very good at her last match.
Okay, I'm not sure.
She looked out of shape and she looked old and slow.
I'm not sure if Kobe's ever had to come back from something like that.
Achilles looked really bad most of his last season.
Really looked horrible and then...
At the start of that season, yeah, definitely.
I guess.
That's why he retired. I mean, he can still score,
but he
didn't have the burst. He couldn't get by people anymore. He didn't have he just wasn't himself.
I've heard this question more in combat sports. A guy that's like on a 5-fight losing streak and then all of a sudden wins. And they might ask him the same question, like, what's different about you? And I guess that's, you know, like, what changed? What happened? Why were you losing and why are you winning now? Well, I got healthy or I got divorced. I got married. I had kids. Something. You know, I guess that's what you're fishing for. But, I mean, look, I expect the same answer. Like, if it was Kobe, I'm Kobe or I'm John Jones. I'm whoever. I'm great. You know?
Women don't always say that very often. Like,
what, I'm great?
Yeah, it took me a long time in my career to be able to say I'm good at what I do. Like, it's really hard for me to say that. We're so afraid to say that, women.
That you're good at what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to say. Are you able to do that?
I was going to say not in my business. I get, that would shock me from some of the people I work with. Like, today is a personal record for me.
Okay.
Ricky Hollywood ran our Rams podcast, and then I'm working with you and Lindsay. So I would never guess that you guys second guess yourselves at all. If anything, I would think it's the opposite.
Hmm.
Yeah, at least that's what I pick up when the mics
too?
Go hot.
What?
You have imposter syndrome too?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Taylor, you? No?
Yeah, sometimes. You know? You just feel like you don't belong, undeserving.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Serena is an all-time great, And when but she hasn't been that great for a while. And so it's always fun when you get the aging stars at the end of their career.
Yeah.
But the other part that she talked about in her post-match interview was, I've had a target on my back since 1999. I've been the person you're chasing. I've been the one that everyone is after. Like, when you beat Serena, it makes your name. It makes your career. The reason we think Naomi Osaka is so great is because she beat Serena a couple times, right?
Yeah.
Osaka's not anywhere to be found right now. She just lost. She just lost in the first round. I watched it the other night.
I thought she took a mental break.
She did. Yeah. And then she came back and she hasn't even been close to what she was.
Okay. Wow.
But now this is all just gravy. Like, Serena plays tonight. She plays a doubles match with Venus. And this is all gravy, and there's no pressure on her, except now that she won this one, there's a little pressure.
Well, yeah, go have fun. You know what's funny? I'm banging my head, and even some of the guys that are the most controversial people that toe that line of, you know, I want to punch you in the face. I've never heard a bad word about Serena at all. It seems like to me that the sport stopped treating her like a villain.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Yeah, that's what's changed. I guess tennis has kind of accepted Serena as Serena.
Yeah.
But I think people have always loved her.
Yeah. Tennis has always been a very country club sport, a very white sport.
Yeah.
A very keep your head down. Chrissy Everett, right? Like, she wasn't Chris Everett, she was Chrissy. Okay.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Jennifer Capriati. Like, when you saw Jennifer Capriati, yeah, like, you just saw her as this, like, cute little teenager. And then when she fell out of favor because she turned out she wasn't a cute little teenager, she like got drunk or something, right? Then she have like a mugshot.
I found out she got hammered. I'm like, are you kidding?
What?
Yeah.
That
wow.
One?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. But Serena showed up bedazzled last night.
It was awesome though.
She has sparkles in her hair and her dress all over the place.
Way to go, Serena. Good for you. Yeah. Big fan.
All right. When we come back, Nick Kyrgios, who's normally a bad boy, is a little prude about something.
What?
I'm gonna tell you. DeMarco Farr, Momo, in for Zidane and Cap.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
What year would you say this song came out?
Okay, wait, 2010?
Close. What close. This day, 2012.
2012.
Taylor Swift with this number one hit, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. You know, remember when she first came out and we didn't realize she was legit? Like, that she wrote her own stuff and she wasn't just some bubblegum pop star?
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of legit. She writes
her own stuff.
I
completely ignored her for years.
And then Kanye said something mean to her, right?
Yeah, not my genre, but my daughter
at
the time, who was born in 2001, kind of grew up. This is her target audience. So she would sing this song. Dad, play this for me.
Yeah.
Kind of got into it. Hey, she can write a song. You mean she wrote this whole thing?
Yeah, she writes everything.
Yeah. It, if you listen to her stuff, you can't help but be impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have respect for singer-songwriters. Like, when you, there's people who can sing, and I got respect for them because that's a talent.
Yeah.
When you write your own material, that's real.
You know, I've heard this before, this argument about, you know, she writes, or singers that don't write their own stuff, and that makes them less than. How much did Whitney write?
True.
Did it matter? Who wrote it? No. It
matters what came out of her mouth. Nobody could sing like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm there.
Hey, Nick Kyrgios is one of the top tennis players in the world. He's also the guy that you probably know of. Okay, you probably know Federer and Nadal, Medvedev, right? Who else
Isn't
do you
this
know?
The guy,
Djokovic.
The, yeah, all the top guys. Isn't this the controversial guy?
Yeah, he always makes news, okay?
Okay, what did he say?
The other day, he made news for saying some woman had 70 beers, and then she decided to sue him for defamation. Now, he's making news because he says he was complaining about people smoking weed in the stands at the U.S. Open. He basically went over to the chair umpire and said, I can smell weed from the stands. And it just seemed like such a Chad thing to say. Like Lindsay and I were talking about, like, Chad. Really?
He said it was distracting him.
So distracting. And he said he's a heavy asthmatic.
Well,
and he's afraid it was going to trigger him. I mean, how far away do you have to be? He's an asthmatic.
It catches my attention every time I smell it, like in a stadium.
Really?
It is distracting. It is. Huh. I mean, it's a waft of weed. It's like, wow, I can't believe you're doing this. Like, who's doing this? Where? In the stadium.
So it's that distracting for you?
Big time.
So you smelled it, like, as you were playing a game on the field?
Okay, so when That's I was crazy. A coach, I coached for 2 years.
I mean, look, I'm a Raider fan, so, like, I'm kind of used to that.
We had to play the Amsterdam Admirals.
All right.
In Amsterdam. So there's people in the stands legally smoking weed, right? And they all have whistles in a professional football game. Oh, it's just crazy. But it is distracting. That wouldn't bother you? If you're out there playing softball and you smelled some weed?
Not really.
Oh, really? That would catch my attention, yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I would smell it, and then I'd be like, okay, who's smoking some weed? Like, I, you know.
If a guy, like, lit up a dart, a cigarette.
I think I would be more upset about a cigarette, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
and
but
especially
same thing.
If you have asthma. Like, I feel like the weed smoke, like, or the smell of it, it's not even like it's smoke, it's just the smell of it.
Smoke is smoke. If you're an asthmatic and somebody's smoking, that's not good.
I have asthma, and, like, the cigarette smoke does bother me, but, like, weed smoke, it's not like it's smoke. There's not, like, a cloud of smoke. You
Did
know
you
what
hear
mean?
The latest study that weed smokers have outpaced cigarette smokers for the first time in American history?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. We are now officially a high country. I like it. But yeah, it is distracting. It always catches my attention. And I would say it's everywhere. Every stadium you go to, there's somebody that's lighting up and you catch that smell. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I walk to games at crypto.com from the parking lot. So, I mean, it's pretty much a contact high on the walk across, right? From the parking lot here. I'm used to it going to Raider games. I'm used to it walking to and from my car.
Used to doing most things out here in LA.
Everywhere. Yeah. What's going on in baseball with these people, these exhibitionists? Have you seen that too?
Oh, people having...
Yeah, what the heck, man? You know, get a room.
That's what... Okay, so the other day, Lindsay, do you see the story out of Toronto?
Yeah, there's two stories.
I'm sorry, but go ahead.
There's two stories because there was one last week in Oakland and then...
They caught him.
Yeah.
They got a picture of him, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Somebody posted it on Twitter or whatever. And I feel like maybe that happening, these people were like, oh, we could go viral if we do this. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I hope there's no way. I mean, look, jail. Yeah.
Like, the truth is.
That's disgusting.
There's no way that you don't think you're going to get caught. Like, you're. Okay. We'll see and set here. The first story was in Oakland. The second story is in Toronto. They don't have a lot of fans there.
Right.
So you're kind of in the section all by yourself. There's not a lot of people around you. And I guess you're sitting there and you don't think people are really watching. It's kind of like when you're in class and you don't think the professor can see you sleeping. You're
right.
Like, no, they can see you.
This is true.
Okay. But if you're in a public stadium where there's cameras and TV
everywhere,
like the second I see somebody's naked butt, like you're going to.
Come on, dude. Really?
People are going to see something,
Yeah, it's just nasty.
You're just trying to get caught.
Come on, man.
I think you're trying to get caught.
My kid
also, it doesn't seem very comfortable.
My kid is here. I don't want to see that.
That's right.
Nonsense. Come on, man. I'm trying to enjoy a baseball game.
Yeah, but you're not looking up in the left field bleachers, right? Like if there's no one around.
I see everything.
Well, the internet sees everything.
This is true.
And camera phones see everything.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow.
All right.
Maybe they were high too.
Since I guess we're on a Cleveland theme today,
yeah,
we got to talk about Baker Mayfield. We got you on a football tip and Lindsay on the Cleveland tip. And apparently there's been a little controversy. Well, there's always controversy around Baker because he's one of those guys who's always controversial. There was a reporter named Cynthia Freeland, who I actually know, and Lindsay, you know her really well. She does a podcast, and she's known Baker for a long time. And on a podcast, she said, yeah, I talked to him, and he said Cleveland's playing the Panthers in week one, and Baker's been traded from Cleveland to the Panthers.
Right.
And Baker, who said basically nothing the entire summer.
Done a good job.
She kind of put words in his mouth, is a good way to put it, right?
She said... she said, well, I talked to him and I was like, oh yeah, go you. Like, I'm rooting for you, whatever. Especially week one. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to bleep them up.
Right. Which is so not what he's been saying publicly. And she says it on a podcast, and then it gets picked up everywhere. And Baker's like, I didn't say that. What are you talking about? I didn't say that. But Baker definitely knows Cynthia. And
you think he's
that
lying?
Sounds like a that sounds like
he's
the kind of thing you would say.
Lying?
I think he's lying.
You think he has to lie? Better yeah. question. He has to lie, right?
Well, okay, so here's, and this is the reporter in
he
me.
Has to say, I didn't say that.
Of course.
Okay.
Okay, because the reporter in me says, this is a reporter you know, and a lot of little offhand conversations you have walking to and from a field with people that you know.
Yeah.
But you would say something very different if you knew there was a microphone there or a camera there.
Off the record stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off the record, like we're just talking. You and I do this all the time in breaks. I'm like, hey, can you say that on air? And you're like, a little of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we know things and people tell us things, but also they're not saying it to us so that we can go blab it to everybody.
Right.
They're saying it. Now, as a reporter, it's my job to tell you what's going on, but I know that what people tell me in confidence or what they tell me when I don't have my microphone on is different than what they would say as a quote.
They're sharing something yeah. with you. Yeah.
So sometimes they're going to be given the benefit of anonymity. Sometimes right. we're going to paraphrase how they feel or what they said. Their general
or
sense
ask
of
if they say, yeah. hey, can I use that?
Yeah, I'll say, no. can I use that?
Yeah, right.
Say
yeah,
no.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I think Cynthia was just talking to Baker, and Baker knows Cynthia and didn't think it was going to go anywhere and didn't think she was recording him. And in today's modern world,
she knew what she was doing.
She just
though.
Said it on the podcast and yeah. didn't, maybe didn't realize it was going to blow up like that.
Well, she, I feel like Cynthia also, like with the that podcast, around the NFL podcast, which I used to work on that show, like it was a very like, cheeky, like it's a very like friendly vibe where it's like, oh, I know like one of the guys, Mark Sessler, is a big yeah. Browns fan. Oh, I know you're a big Browns fan, but guess what? Like, here's, you know, like a juicy nugget
Wait
for you.
You didn't think that was going to blow up?
I that's what I said. I said
Cleveland week one,
right? I said, like, do you not realize like how like crazy and
the
rabid and like
everything.
Overblown like Browns fans especially are?
Yeah.
So like, I'm sure that she didn't think anything of it, and even the guys on the show were like, oh, it's just our little podcast. Like, it's not going to be that big of a deal, and, like, she probably didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
And that's probably what happened,
yeah,
and then Browns fans heard
to,
it, and they got mad.
So all of us, you know, you ever hear me say, oh, don't aggregate me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sedano says this, don't aggregate me. Windhorse always saying, don't aggregate me. A lot of it is when you're talking on the radio or you're talking on a podcast, you are aware that people are listening. But when they're listening to the podcast, they're going to get the context of the full conversation.
I got you.
But if somebody just listens to the podcast and they pull out half of a quote or half of something without the context in it, it reads very differently. It reads very, and also saying something is different than writing something. So this is Kobe actually said this to me one time. It was, we were talking about doing a story, and I can take you behind the curtain of this one. He was coming into his last couple of years, and he had just torn his Achilles, and we were going to do a story kind of about whether they were going to give him a new contract and how he felt about that. And he and I had been talking about it, and I said, hey, you know, we got to get into this. And he goes, yeah, okay, let's do it. Let's talk over the summer. So you want to do a written story, about kind of the way you're approaching this comeback from the Achilles? Or do you want to do a TV interview? Do you want to call into the radio show? Like, what's your preferred medium? And he goes, no, I want you to write it. And I go, why? He goes, it lasts longer.
Wow.
It lasts longer.
Yeah.
Okay? So when you say...
It's in print.
He's so smart. Like, the way he said that, I was like, it's right. When you say something and then it's written, it lasts longer.
Yeah.
Versus when you say something
like,
and you're
dope.
Talking on a podcast, you don't realize that...
Yeah.
It could be written also. And then when it gets written and it gets aggregated, when all the people who are listening to the podcast and they write about it on the 25 different websites that cover the NFL, and then now we're talking about it on a radio show
yeah,
in
yeah.
LA. I mean, it.
But still,
you don't realize the effect of your words sometimes because you're just thinking about your own podcast
if you have a
and
buddy,
your own listeners.
If you have a buddy that's your source and you say something and you didn't ask him if he can use it and you put it out there. You did that on purpose. You know that, right?
If you have a buddy.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Well, she said that purposely. That's
oh, yeah.
good stuff
yeah, yeah.
to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also sometimes, it's probably, like, Linz, I'm not to degrade
you
the
just don't,
podcast
that's not
or anything,
line.
But like, how many people
yeah.
listen to that podcast? Is it a really popular podcast?
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it was the most popular podcast by far. They had quite a following.
Okay.
So
So you know that your words have mattered.
It's not, yeah,
right.
it's been on for like 15 years.
They
right.
are heroes in
yeah.
London.
Yeah.
Everybody loves that
show.
They
literally did an entire
Got it.
Trip
yeah.
to London.
You knew
okay.
that was
so
coming.
So yeah, she knew that would get aggregated.
Absolutely.
She knew that would get
Probably,
picked up.
Yeah.
So there's a, a lot of times I'll do a podcast, like some college student will say to me, oh, hey, me and my buddy just started a podcast, will you come on? And I get a lot of requests. Sometimes I say yes. I don't really have a ton of time to do a million things, but I'll say yes if I know the person, if they come at me the right way, or if I just am not busy that day. Sometimes it's just literally that simple. I don't know where they ever get posted. I don't know where they ever go. Like, you know, you know, I have no idea if what I said on there is going to get, is it going to go places? Is it not? Next week, I'm going to talk to a USC class. And I always say, hey, whatever I tell you, please, this is off the record. This is, I'm trying to teach and trying to help you understand the business. But I always know that whatever I say on a podcast or into a class, anything like that could come back.
No doubt.
Right. Whatever you say, there's no such thing as off the record. So even though Baker knows there was no microphone around.
Right.
Can't get upset.
Yeah. Well,
you may not say
funny.
It again.
Myles Garrett, the Browns defensive end.
Yeah.
Heard it. And what did he say? We'll take it and we'll use it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your former teammate will just kind of, you know, set the record straight September 11th. But yeah, absolutely. If you're Baker Mayfield, it's better to stay quiet and just play ball. Versus being the same guy you're in Cleveland.
He was trying.
Yeah, good luck.
Speaking of staying quiet, Timmy Trumpet hasn't the last couple of games.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll talk about that next. DeMarco Farr.
Thanks, Christopher. And don't forget, as always, Radio Tinder is brought to you by Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on great tequila. And you could find more at tequilamandala.com.
Salt and lime? No?
Yeah, always. For
right,
me.
Just
for
checking.
Me.
Straight shot.
You guys?
All right.
Chilled with salt and lime.
I don't need salt and lime. Just
you know what? If
go.
It's really good tequila, because
chilled.
You don't need anything.
Let's go. Yes.
Just straight. But if it needs, there's nothing wrong with a little salt and lime, but like the really good stuff you don't need.
You know what I like with my tequila? Las Vegas.
Let's go. Come on, Marco. Let's go. I wanted to go this weekend, and I cannot find anybody to go. Like I'm booked in everything, comp room. Cannot find anybody to go with me for the life of me.
How hot is it in Vegas? Because I know how hot it is here.
I'm not spending any time outside except when I walk back and forth to the different casinos. This I'm not like hanging out outside. Mm. You know, I'm going there to hang out and gamble.
That.
Yeah,
true.
For sure. All right. Well, this one, this is a very interesting one for you guys. Completely speculative, right?
Yep.
So a Texas man has been arrested for breaking into an animal shelter and releasing nearly 150 dogs from their cages before escaping in the shelter's van.
Huh.
So then brutal fighting broke out among the freed dogs, killing one dog and injuring several others. Multiple dogs escaped the property through an outside gate. So like volunteers, police, people had to come in and try and wrangle all these escaped dogs up, right? Well, the officers later tracked the man down after they located the stolen van, and he was arrested and charged with the break-in, animal cruelty, and theft of a motor vehicle. So again, this is strictly an opinion question, but don't you think that, or do you think, the man freeing 150 dogs from an animal shelter had good intentions?
Swipe
yeah, left
like
or
it.
Swipe right.
Right? So it sounds like it. Where'd the dogs go? I mean, like, they have a better chance of surviving on their own probably than they do in the shelter.
Right. And there was a lot of, just the story I read about it. It was like, oh, this was terrible. This was horrible because all these people had to come in and wrangle up the dogs. And then they started like a GoFundMe because some of them got injured. And like I said, one got killed. I feel like when you see a headline, man arrested for freeing dogs from animal shelter, he probably went into it thinking he was doing a good thing, right?
Isn't this the plot to Finding Nemo?
Or
12 Monkeys.
Kind of.
Basically.
What do you think, DeMarco?
I'm swiping left. They arrested the guy, right?
Yeah. And like I said, he got charged with animal cruelty.
He should. That's crazy. You're just going to release the dogs and then what? They're going to do what? Run?
Yeah. I mean, nobody, like the stray dog,
Every person in that within three blocks
right.
in danger.
That aspect of it is definitely concerning, but I feel like the initial, like, what goes, you know what I mean? Like, I guess my question is just, I thought it was going to be a happy story when I read it. Like, oh, this guy freed all these dogs because
now,
he's trying to, like,
if you
save
said,
them.
Like, stole the dogs, put them in a truck, and drove them someplace else, that would be one thing, but just letting them out in the public? How are they going to feed themselves?
Well, it did not specify whether or not it was a no-kill shelter, because I tried to find that out, because that's a motive right there,
right? I mean,
you
definitely can't be having like everybody break into animal shelters and letting dogs and cats out. You there's a reason why they're in the shelter. Because it's better for them to be in the shelter and taken care of and have a chance at adoption than it is to be roving.
And creating more dogs.
Creating more dogs and feral dogs and cats on the streets, right?
Unless it's a kill shelter. Then I guess I could see the motive, right?
My daughter's half a hippie. She would try something like this. I'd have to talk her out of it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
I feel like
full hippie.
Not full hippie. Half a hippie.
The man committed a crime and it ended very badly.
Okay.
I feel bad a dog died and that a bunch were injured, but I feel like, and I don't know the guy, but I'm speculating, I think he probably went into it thinking he was doing a good thing.
There are better ways to do this.
All right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. 100%. All right. Just wanted to ask you guys to weigh in on that. All right. So this next one here comes from my favorite Reddit forum. Been a while since we visited this, but it's the Am I the A-hole
forum. Oh, I love
this
one. Yep.
So I'm just going to read this for you guys, because there's no point in me trying to summarize. This is exactly what the man wrote.
All right. Let's go.
My girlfriend ordered lasagna in the airport terminal and received it right before we boarded the plane. After we sat down, before taking off, she opened it up and started eating. A flight attendant then approached us and said, in neither a positive or negative tone, oh, you're the person eating lasagna. We can smell it throughout the whole plane. And then she left us. After the comment, I suggested to my girlfriend to put it away for the sake of others who might not appreciate the strong smell of her food. She put up a bit of a fuss and didn't want to put it away, so I told her she was likely ruining other people's flight experience having to smell her food. Is he the a-hole? Ramona, swipe left or swipe right?
Yes, relax. Like, you eat your lasagna. It's okay. Like, look, that's not like that strong of a food, and we're not talking like garlic fries or something really
gross. Cheese is kind of stinky.
It is. It could be a little bit, but I mean, you're allowed to eat.
You definitely know lasagna's on the plane.
Yeah. You know what lasagna smells like.
You know what's going on.
Look, is it getting all over people? Is it super messy? Is she eating it as she's walking through the aisle and spilling it all over everybody? I mean, I definitely feel a little ridiculous when, like, I go to the Burbank airport a lot, and I have to take those morning flights up to the Bay Area all the time. I'm always going up to Oakland. Well, I was going to Oakland for the Warriors. Now they're in San Francisco, but I was always going up to Oakland, San Francisco, Sacramento, Phoenix, wherever Southwest flies.
Short hops, yeah.
Always get the breakfast burrito at Burbank Airport. It's super good.
Really?
Right? Like, it's very expensive. It's like, you have to kind of get there a little early.
Good call.
And it's like, you'd be like, wait, the burrito is $18? Or what? Everything at Burbank Airport is expensive. But it's messy. And I feel a little embarrassed eating that on my Southwest flight, because you get it open and you're like, the cheese and stuff is all spilling all over you. And you're like, I'm messy and I'm gross. So you kind of need to sit and eat that at the table. But like lasagna, like it feels self-contained.
Well,
but it's the smell.
Okay.
It's the smell.
What's the question again?
Is the guy who says, put your food away.
Is he a jerk?
Yeah.
Swipe right for yes.
Yes.
Swipe left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going left. It's only because I think we all like the smell of lasagna,
yeah,
and we can deal with that. Now, imagine something like kimchi.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like that.
That's intense.
Or a lot of people don't like that. It's intense, but it's the same thing. I don't want to smell what you're eating. So he's not being a jerk. He's just looking out for everyone else sitting there.
Yeah.
So they don't want to smell your food.
I don't know. What do you think, Lynn?
I have a very strong sense of smell. So as somebody who, in that situation, I feel like there's certain things you don't take on a plane with you.
Yeah.
Really, like, most foods, but like you don't bring like fish on a plane.
Yeah,
like that's
I wouldn't
gross.
Bring fish.
Tuna fish though.
No,
not even a tuna fish sandwich.
No, that's stinks.
I've done that.
It's not bad, right?
I've eaten tuna.
Okay.
I just feel like
you're eating sushi on a plane.
No.
Yes.
But sushi doesn't stink.
Yeah.
But sushi doesn't stink. Like doesn't have like a strong like warmed up food. I feel like if you're going to like whatever the sit down place
is worse than stinky. I don't even think that's stinky though. Lasagna's good.
The worst I've seen is a guy got on there, and I think we were coming back from somewhere in the south. He got on with Popeye's chicken and was just going to town. And
that's kind of gross because I feel like you said, not even just the mess, but just like the eating aspect of it, where it's all greasy and you're
everywhere.
Like making noises.
You're
that's like eating
stuff.
Wings
I know,
on a plane.
You're like, excuse me, and
right.
You got like grease
yeah,
all over you.
Yeah, and planes are nasty. Like, do you really want to be eating like finger food like
that's
that on a plane?
Like, I've done it. I wouldn't. Yeah, it's gross.
I've done it. I've done it.
No, look, I travel a lot, man. I've done. I'm not proud, but I've done it.
I just think in general, most strongly smelling foods, you should probably, like, whether you like it or not, like, I don't know, I just feel like other people, that's like wearing,
I also think you shouldn't have a lot of crinkly paper.
Be considerate. Yeah.
Like if you have like a lot of packaging and paper, like let's say that lasagna came in a little box. The box is sort of self-contained. It's probably not a ton. But if it came in a, like a big container and you're spilling sauce all over the place,
that's
you get
problem.
Cheese on your seat, and the person that you're in the window, you're in the aisle seat, and the person on the window is like, "Oh, I got to get up and go to the bathroom." You're like, "Hold on, I got this lasagna all over me."
If you open like a messy like pot of red sauce next to me, I might. What did you say, Chad? I would become Chad. I'd be that guy. I would. Yeah.
I feel like I said, any like strong, even perfume.
Okay.
Don't you think people think it's kind of like a no-no? You don't wear like a bunch of perfume or cologne when you get on a plane.
I'd rather you do that than smell.
Yeah, but again, you have to think not everybody likes this smell. You know, so you just anything that's like super.
I mean, people do gross stuff on planes.
You're right, they do. But I try to be considerate
all the time.
Man.
Well, they can't really help it, right?
Like you can't tell that they're farting, and you're like, I know it's you.
You're like, I know it. I know it.
Problems. We would have problems. Really.
All right, last one really quick here. So UFC announced yesterday that they are collaborating with The Rock. Project Rock, the innovative performance brand created, of course, by The Rock, has launched its first ever co-branded footwear, the Project Rock UFC shoes and slides. So they're both official footwear now of the UFC athletes and corners.
Phenomenal.
Starting today. The footwear is going to be made available for sale at all retail outlets around the world that carry the Project Rock clothing line. Do you guys know anybody who would buy the Project Rock shoes or slides?
Me.
Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. Me.
Okay. Me. I love his sweatshirts, by the way.
Yeah.
And then what's Danny's line? She's the...
Who?
Hold on. I'm going to find it. It's
I think
got,
The
like,
Rock is phenomenal.
I love
him. I love
he's,
him,
he's
too.
The biggest movie star in the world. He's the highest paid movie star, right?
Yeah, he's got to be like one of the most, if not the most famous actor in the world
and
right now,
and he's a former
right?
athlete who's involved in sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's kind of like LeBron.
He's got a great logo.
Absolutely fantastic logo. Yeah.
There was a time he was my answer to the question.
What was the question?
Oh, he's mine for sure.
What was the
question?
What's the question?
Like your hall pass. Obviously,
he's
I'm not in a
pass.
Relationship,
oh,
but like...
Oh.
There's one guy where I'm like, man, I want a piece of him. It's The Rock for sure. Like, I love
him.
He's
a lot of answers to a lot of women's questions.
He's such an amazing person, too. That's part of it. Like, he's a good guy.
Can you imagine if he was a little bit better playing football and was actually a football star?
Yeah, but that's why he's a great actor.
I have his Miami jersey, by the way.
Yeah.
I bet you do.
Wow. That guy as an athlete. Wow. what are you laughing about? Look at you.
He is just...
Hall pass? We like turn red when we talk about
him. He is a very... Good-looking man. He's a specimen.
It's like the scene from Walking Tall where he's got the 2x4.
Oh, yeah.
So
many scenes.
Like, I can't even concentrate anymore. I'm like, okay.
Got you all flustered.
Yeah, all flustered.
When he was on the at SoFi.
Hey, when we come back, we got to talk about Timmy Trumpet.
Timmy Trumpet. Wow.
You know what, though? I've been doing a deep dive on Timmy Trumpet.
Yeah?
I just want to know who... how did he get to be Timmy Trumpet? And why are we talking about him every time Edwin Diaz comes out? What are you giving me? All right. I love that she just ran in here. How did you know this is like going to get both me and DeMarco hype? This is like my era, this song. This was high school for me. Is that this high school for you, D-Far?
No.
Oh, yeah, you were in college.
Yeah.
So this is like my freshman year of high school.
When did this come out? What year?
Probably like 95-ish. Right?
That was my second year in the pros.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, God, I got a noise violation.
For playing this?
Yeah. I was finally making some money.
Noise violation.
I had a red Jeep Wrangler that I tricked out. 3.5-inch lift. Big stereo system. How about, this is the stupid part.
All right.
With a soft top. With like a
soft top, yeah. That's
$20,000 stereo in a Jeep with a soft top.
Okay.
That's stupid. Why even have a roof?
So you're playing that, and who gave you the cops? Where?
I got a ticket right out in front of right outside of Anaheim Stadium.
And did you know I'm on the team?
I told
sir?
Him I'm heading in for a game, and he
didn't
care less.
Care?
No, not at all. Not
like,
at all.
Oh, this is my warm up music. This is my hype up music.
I was just listening to this today. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. They really gave you a ticket for that?
Absolutely. It was loud.
I mean, it's Orange County.
It was loud and it was banging. Yeah.
Still.
It was banging. Absolutely.
That would get me hyped.
Yeah, it was
I
fun.
Can see that.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Speaking of hype music.
What?
Do you watch the Dodgers-Mets? The Dodgers lost again, by the way. 5-3.
Yeah.
You were. I mean, I can't get worried about it. I'm trying really hard because we're supposed to have some drama and some intrigue, but like they're so good. And yes, they lost two in New York to the Mets, and they lost to Chris Bassett, and they lost to Jacob DeGrom, and it could be an LCS thing. But they're like a million games over 500, and they're so much better than everyone else. It's hard for me to get nervous. But true. Last night at the Dodgers-Mets game, the Mets owner, Steve Cohen, who's this like rich guy who has too much money and doesn't know what to do with it, so he spends it on things like this, flew in this guy, Timmy Trumpet. Timmy Trumpet's been a... I don't even know where he came from. I just like people have been talking about Timmy Trumpet, okay?
So he's like a random
Australian DJ.
Yeah, he's
musician,
like a DJ. He's okay? Not even like you'd think this is like a mariachi man, yeah, or like something. He's just a DJ. And yeah, this is like an intro to
you know
one
what's
of his songs.
Like he's just a showman because, by the way, there's so many mariachi bands and so many that are like probably better than him. Like they're all here.
Yeah.
In LA, like I'm sure I can't even name them, but I'm sure there's so many people who are like, oh, I could totally do this better than Timmy Trumpet. But Timmy Trumpet's become a guy. He's like a DJ, and he plays the trumpet, and he creates these big moments. He performed in this zero gravity thing. Like, he's kind of a showman. So Steve Cohen flies in Timmy Trumpet because he has made a name for himself playing the song Narco. And that is Edwin Diaz's, the closer for the Mets, that's his walk-in music.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kenley Jansen used to play California Love, which uh-huh. I think is why Taylor played that for us there.
Dope.
This is Edwin Diaz's walk-in music. So they fly him in for this big series.
That's awesome.
He's there for the ninth inning, and he's just going to meet Edwin Diaz. He's going to be like, hey, man, we're going to take a photo up. But the moment actually presents itself. In the ninth inning, Diaz comes in. Timmy Trumpet's there live, plays live for the crowd at Shea last night.
That's awesome.
Diaz gets the save, and it's like, that never works out. Like that's the one night, because Timmy Trumpet had to hop a flight to Singapore after the game for another concert. Like he was there for one night only.
That's awesome.
And the one night only that he was there, Diaz comes in to get the save and he gets to play the walk-in music
that's
live.
Making
for the
hair
game.
On my arm stand
it's
up.
Pretty,
that's
pretty cool,
awesome.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Did you
yes.
see the video, DeMarco?
No, I haven't seen the video yet.
So Beto was talking about this yep. on Monday and Tuesday. And he was like, oh, we got to make sure that the Dodgers win. Like, we can't let the Mets have a save opportunity and have this guy come in because we want, like, to blow their plans. We want to foil their plans, you know, as Dodgers
fans. All
the
way in from Australia.
Right. And he was like, this guy got on a 14-hour flight. Like, how funny would it be if the Dodgers beat him and he doesn't even get a chance to come in and play the trumpet?
That'd be terrible.
Well, you know, Beto just being, you know, Dodgers fans, that'd be funny, right? So then he comes in and everyone's like, oh my God, it was so cheesy and staged and blah, blah, blah. I watched the video and I was like,
awesome.
That was really cool.
It was really cool.
Totally bought into the hype.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times we try to create these moments. Like you try to create the, you know, they do the flyover before a game. I don't know if I should tell people this, but I've said it before on air, so it's probably out there. You know, Kobe's speech at the end of his last game where he addresses the crowd and then at the end, he says, Mamba out.
Yeah, please don't ruin it for me. Don't ruin it for me.
I'm going to ruin it.
Oh, my God.
That was premeditated. He had thought about what he was going to say, and he definitely thought of Mamba out because 5 minutes later, on the Kobe website, there's T-shirts that say Mamba out available to purchase.
Wow.
Okay? Now, think
that
about...
That was cold water.
I'm sorry.
That hurts.
But it's also kind of awesome because you thought of the perfect closing, perfect mic drop
and
saying,
and you did it,
and you dropped 60 on him in your last game, which was ridiculous, like so good. Like, can you imagine if he has this Mamba out thing and he was going to address the crowd, but he had a terrible last game? Like, let's say
I don't
just
think
sucked.
He would say it then.
No, I think, I mean, like.
Sometimes you got to eat that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Serena's playing in the U.S. Open. And the network has to be prepared for her to lose because she wasn't very good coming into the Open, right? This is definitely her last tournament. Her last tournament that she played in before wasn't very good. She looked kind of old and slow, like real rusty. Like she needs to get back in shape and she needs to like find her game again. And so people were prepared for her to lose even in her first game. So the network's like, okay, we gotta get the Serena tributes ready, and they get this. They get. Like, anybody wants to do a Serena tribute. You don't have to look. It's not that hard to get anybody to do a voiceover or a tribute, right? Because it's Serena.
Right.
So who do they get?
Who?
Oprah. Okay? And it's like, thank you, Serena, and all the things that we're thanking Serena for. And they have this, like, 3-minute tribute video that Oprah has done the voiceover for.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome. But we don't need to play it after the first round. She won.
Right.
Like, we should wait till she loses.
Hang on to it for a minute.
But they played after the first round. And then last night when she won again, they played. Oh, here's the Oprah thing. I'm like, we just heard this.
You might as well just put it out. Yeah, because you never know. Well,
you don't want to save it, I guess. Yeah. Like, there's so many engineered moments that don't come together the way that they're supposed to.
Oh,
and
no doubt.
Timmy Trumpet flying in from Australia for the one night only and then actually gets to play and they get the save.
Have you met Larry Fitzgerald?
A little bit.
Okay, so
I mean, I don't know him like you do, but
Larry Fitzgerald has threatened retirement.
Like, oh my gosh.
How
so many
times?
To the point where, like, every year it's in the fantasy draft. I'm like, oh, he's still playing. Okay.
Every time we'd go to Arizona, the Arizona Cardinals would play this tribute to Larry Fitzgerald. Like, this is the last time we're going to see him. And then they do it the next year.
The next year.
And then the next year. And then the next year. It's like this guy just won't retire.
I know. He's still good, though.
More farewell tours than Kiss. Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, like, what are the big engineered moments that you – I can't think of any other ones that were
– moments that didn't work or moments that worked?
That worked.
Moments that worked. Oh, man.
I mean, they tried to do that at the Field of Dreams game. Ireland got all fired up.
I thought everyone
was creepy.
Yeah, I thought everyone was like hating on me for it, but I was just like, I thought it was a bit much.
Okay.
Like, I was not
so
a
let
fan.
Me reset. I'll tell you what happened. Yeah. So every year they do this. Well, not every year. This is only the second year they've done it, okay? There's a Field of Dreams field in Iowa. It's a cornfield in Iowa.
Yeah.
It's literally where the movie was filmed. The first year, it was a really good, big success. The Cubs play. Who played in the first year?
Yankees, I think.
Yeah, the Yankees
and who? I can't remember now.
I don't even
White
remember.
Sox, I want to say?
Yeah.
I think that sounds right. Yeah, because it was the recreation of the 1919 game. And that's in the movie, right? Shoeless Joe Jackson, yada, yada. This year, it was the Cubs and Reds. Cubs fans from Chicago, they can go to Iowa. It's close by. It's kind of a cool idea. Cincinnati was great because they had the Griffies, like, and Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. They come out of the cornfield. They say, let's have a catch, okay? That's also a callback to the movie. Let's have a catch.
Right.
They also decide. They decide. Okay, we're gonna go Coachella style.
Oh, boy.
With Harry Carey.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to do a hologram of Harry Carey singing the seventh inning stretch. Because when you're at Wrigley Field, they still play Harry Carey singing the seventh inning stretch. Yeah. Like, that's what he used to do. They're a famous broadcaster. But they don't use a hologram. And for some reason, somebody thought this was a good idea to use the creepy hologram, like the larger than life size Harry Carey.
Wow.
At the Field of Dreams game. And everybody was like, ooh, maybe that was a little much.
Should have talked about
you
that.
You thought that was creepy,
more.
Right?
Yeah. I don't like
Absolutely
holograms.
Creepy.
Yeah.
It's kind of disrespectful, too.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's almost as bad as the guy letting the dogs out, right? Yeah. Well-intentioned, but you need to think about that a little more.
Who let the dogs out?
Oh, don't bark.
I almost did.
I felt it.
Oh, my God. It was right there.
Did you feel
you
it
You wanted
up?
To. It was like, really hard to
like
say that.
It was over.
Yeah, it was like a reaction.
Yeah. Wow. No, I felt it. I felt it.
Wow.
I stopped you.
Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, we got what you need to know. And have you ever gotten a raise that you didn't deserve?
Are you asking me?
I'll tell you next. Momo and DeMarco Farr in for Sedano and Cap, ESPN LA.